Let's just say at the basic background here. So we're doing a sugya about, the Gemara says it was a bracha after Megillah. Okay, and the bracha after Megillah is Rishas, it seems. It depends on your minhag. If you're in a town where the minhag is to make the bracha, you make the bracha. If you're in a town where the minhag is not to make the bracha, then you don't have to. You could, you don't have to. Right? Okay, that's all the Gemara says. Okay, so we said, what's kind of this funny thing? We've heard of a bracha like that. Why is there a bracha talia and a minhag? Right? I mean, did they set up a bracha? Why don't they all set up a bracha? Everyone should have to say it. If they didn't set up a bracha, then they shouldn't have to. Then they shouldn't be allowed to. You can't just make up brachas of the minhag. Minhags can't say make up brachas. So we said that the bracha is, it's not an ordinary bracha, but basically Megillah is a story, which is, you know, it's Mepharsim the Nes, and it's a moving story. It's a Nes, which really, you see, moved all of Kal Yisrael to Bechozer and Shuvah, and even Goyim became Jews because of it. It was a movement to which it was a story which really moved people at large towards Avodah Hashem. And the story itself is a very moving story. And the story is natural, or there is a tendency of a person who really pays attention and thinks into the story to be moved towards Shevach Hashem about the miracle. And what the Chazal Masakin is that a bracha for which a person could express that feeling. If a person moves to Shevach based upon the Megillah, the story of the Megillah, this is the text which he should use to give Shevach. But it's optional, because the idea is it's not like a technical, the Ran says, is that it's not like a bracha on the Megillah itself. It's like a bracha achrona on the Megillah. Certain, like we have bracha before and bracha after. He says it's not on the Megillah, it's a bracha on the Nes. The Megillah is a stimulus for you to think about the Nes, and it could motivate a person to give Shevach on it, and if a person is so moved, he has a right to give Shevach. But he doesn't have to. It's not a chova, because it's not like a bracha on the mitzvah. Well, on the mitzvah, they set it up or they didn't set it up. But here it's a bracha on the nates, and if the person is moved by the nates, he has the right to give it. And if not. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now that's the intrinsic halacha. That's what it's all set up. It's a bracha which is a rishos. Now the thing is, we said, is that in a certain location, so what's a minhag? So certain places, that's what they do. Right? The cities where there's no minhag to do it, so basically it's up to each person. But there are certain cities that took on the minhag to do it. For everybody to do it. So we suggested, perhaps, is that there became, if you'd have a city where people aren't doing it, let's say there's historically a city, which presumably would happen at some point, is that people wouldn't be moved, right? And people would stop doing it. So then, first of all, it's like a bizayon. It's here, you have this bracha, which is for people who are moved, and no one's doing it. And not only that, you're not going to, in other words, you want to be, the idea of setting up the bracha in this way it helps bring out the idea, the concept, that the nes is meaningful and moving to people. But insofar as no one's doing it, it doesn't contain that idea, it doesn't reflect that idea. So what they did is, in that city, they said, they're makabel, that we're all going to do it. So this way, even though it's not contingent upon each person being moved, but at least it points to the idea that the nes should move a person to Shevach. So then those cities, they basically, given that people weren't being knowing it, they basically accepted upon themselves a minhag that everyone's going to do it. Because we're saying that is because otherwise, look, if the halacha was it's optional, why would you make up to make it obligatory? Why would they do that? They're saying we're conjecturing that there was that in certain cities did it because the plan wasn't working. So if people aren't doing it appropriately and they're not, then the best, second best idea is to just have everyone do it. But there's minhag, and it's not bracha atala because the kana of the bracha was set up as a rishos. So you have a right to do it. So therefore they do it. So fine, so that was the minhag. So now once you're in that town, now you have to do it. And that's basically what we do. We do it. We don't have a rishos anymore. We're in our town, and everyone nowadays doesn't. You know? So that's basically what we did yesterday. Well, so that's what the Ran said, is that since it's not really a bracha on the Megillah itself, so therefore it's not considered a bracha smucha l'chavrta. Which means is that when you have a series of brachos, one after the other, so the second bracha does not need to start with a barach. Okay, but when you don't have a series, independent brachas, every bracha has to start with barach. So he says, why don't you say the bracha rishon, bracha achorona, the second bracha doesn't need a bracha start with barach? So he says, because it's not a bracha achorona on the Megillah, it's really a bracha on the Nes. So it's independent of the bracha rishona. So therefore, it's on barach. That's the way they're on answer. Okay, fine. So now we're going to do the Torah. So the Torah is Tav Resh Tzadi Beis. And he says like this. He says,
is it
Or HaChaim? Yes, Or HaChaim Tav Resh Tzadi Beis. He says, Ubal Ha'itor Zal Kasav. Mistavra Kivan Shebracha Achrona B'Minhag Atalya Melsa. Since the Rachman is really contingent on Minhag, Ein Ligar B'Misha Sach B'Kriyasa. So you shouldn't get angry about someone who talks in the reading of the Megillah. De'lav Havsakahi. It's not a Havsak. Ela B'Kriya Talya Melsa. But the Bracha is just contingent on the reading. Right? So therefore, it doesn't matter if there's a Havsak. Okay? Since you are making a bracha, you can't make a bracha. Who cares if it's a minhag? Bottom line is you make the bracha. Okay, so again, so what's he saying? So again, question is there a problem of a hafzik during the Megillah or after the Megillah? It's not clear exactly. It sounds like it means during the Megillah, but do you say that now if you're mafzik in the middle of the Megillah, so now it's going to somehow break up the connection between the Bracha Achrona and the Megillah, and the entire Megillah. So you shouldn't do mafzik. So he says, the Baal Ha'itor says, since it's only a minhag, so it doesn't matter. Don't worry about men. Don't worry about the Bracha. Don't worry about a hafzik. It's only minhag anyways. And the Torah doesn't want by it because he says, I don't care, it's only a minhag. Who cares, it's only a minhag? How much you make the bracha? Given they make the bracha, you shouldn't be a mafzik. Right? So the question is, what's the smachalakas? What's the Baal Ha'itor's point, and what's the Torah's counterpoint? Here it is. So I think Mark's saying good for Baal Ha'itor is that what kind of thing is this a bracha which is a minhag? Right? What kind of thing, bracha is a minhag? Is it a chayachir or a bracha? You should be chayach to say bracha. So he's saying is the idea of bracha, which is a minhag, is because the bracha is not a bracha on the Megillah. So the bracha, if the Megillah was chayav and a bracha l'achron, a bracha l'fnei l'achorea, so then you'd have to do it. Just like all mitzvahs. When you have a mitzvah, whichever mitzvah has a bracha before and after, it's not optional. If it's like part of the takana of the mitzvah that has a bracha before and after, then you shouldn't be able to, it shouldn't be optional, you should have to do it. So he's saying, this is like the Ran. This is a different type of a Mechayev. This is Mechayev, is that the Nes, the Megillah, it brings to mind the Nes. And the Gavra who's thinking about the Nes, based upon the Megillah, has a right to give Shabbat. It's a Roshos. It's a Menach. It's a Menach to do it. It's Talos Menach. It means Roshos. So it's saying is, so that Gavra, it doesn't matter if you talk for a minute afterwards. The Gavra's still there. Or talk in the middle of the Megillah or whatever. The point is, if it's a Mecha on the mitzvah, so then here's like one unit. Bracha Rishona, Megillah, Bracha Achrona. And they gotta be a continuous flow without any hafzik. Right? Because it's creating there's a three-part entity. Rishona, Bracha, Megillah, Achrona. Right? Like an Alel. Like a Sukkot Zimra. Right, like in the Rechaz Torah, it's one continuous entity. But if you say no, there's really two part entity, bracha, rishona, and megillah. Then you're done. There's a separate thing that could move a person to give shabbach. So fine. So as long as you did the activity of kriyas megillah, you can move to give shabbach. It's not an issue of hafzik. It's not an inyan of hafzik. The nature of the events of the megillah move a person more than just for a minute. And they tie the person to the piersim, and he has the right to give shabbach. So it's not go where the person wants to talk. It's not going to undermine the mechayev of the bracha, right? But he's saying minhag not because minhag is weaker. The minhag is indicative of the nature of the bracha. That it's not a technical bracha on the ma'isa mitzvah of making megillah, but it's a bracha on the neis, and therefore it's not going to be bound by a technical din of haftz. Right? Yes, Jake. So Jake is saying good. This is what the Bach wants to say. I mean, maybe we have to defend it a little more. But it seems the step is that the Torah argues on that premise. He learned it's like other bracha achrona. This is bracha rishon, bracha achra. You have like a lot of mitzvahs. Bracha rishon, bracha lefna, bracha achra. And this is a bracha lefna, bracha achra. It's like all of them, like a lot of mitzvahs have a bracha before and after. It's not a bracha, separate bracha on the nes. But sorry, the mechayiv is the mikra megillah. The mikra megillah demands a bracha before or has a bracha before and afterwards. So just like you can't be mafsig before, between the bracha and the megillah, so too after. So too after, and I, it's minog. That's a good question. But apparently he's not, we have to answer that question, but apparently he's not saying, since it's minog, therefore change your premise. It's a whole different kind of a bracha. He's not, it seems like he's not willing to go there. He's learning it like it's really a bracha achrona. Really it's a bracha achrona. The only thing is that this bracha achrona is different than other bracha achrona. The normal bracha achrona is chiyuv. Here, they gave the bracha achrona din rishos. Right? It's not, like, it doesn't mean it's a new idea of a bracha on the nes. It's really a bracha after a mitzvah. A lot of mitzvahs, you have bracha before, bracha after. But it's a bracha, there's a achreha, but they gave it a din rishos. They weren't machayev in it. I mean, that's really machlokes. Does that make sense? Do you say once it's rishos, it has to be a different kind of bracha? Or you say no? Same idea, same type of bracha, but just that they took the din rechova out of it. It'd be nice if we could say some more about that, though. It's like a little funny, I think, according to the Torah. But I'm thinking like I just have some informal thoughts. Nothing's great, but maybe we'll figure it out together. So I'm thinking along the path of what Matt's trying to say. That, so what's the deal with the bracha achrona? I mean, it's part of the problem. We don't really understand the bracha achrona. We haven't done all these sugyas. But what's the idea? So I think there's the Gemara in Brachos, which basically says, like, it compares it to benching. It says, like, if after you eat, you have to give a shavach, so after you learn Torah, kol shekein, it's like, and I think the idea is that it's like, as opposed to other mitzvahs, most mitzvahs, you do the mitzvah, and then you're done with the mitzvah, it's over. But learning creates, like, an effect. Just like eating, after you eat, you're full. And you're satisfied, and now you give a shavach on v'chaltas v'tevirachta. So learning is like the chashivas of Talmud Torah. It also has that type of a thing, that there's an experience of Talmud Torah, and you're moved by the experience, and there's like ana of the experience. So it's like it's mechayev in a shavach afterwards. Okay, so there's an after effect of Talmud Torah, which is mechayev in the shavach. So there's mechayev before you learn. But there's also an after effect, as opposed to like a regular mitzvah, like in Tils Lulav or something, you could argue, doesn't have that. You just do the mitzvah, and you don't have the mitzvah. But it's because the nature of learning of Talmud Torah engages the person in the world of ideas, so therefore it's the Torah, the Rabban set up, that there's a chovah giving shavach on the Talmud Torah after the shavach, after you learn as well. You know?
There's a bracha like that.
There's a bracha like that. Talmud Torah, like by Neil Beilani. No, it's a bracha like by the Tzibor. It's a good question. By Yachid, you don't have it. But by like a formalized institution of Talmud Torah, like in Leining, because Torah, you see, you make a bracha before and you make a bracha after. Shemasalam Torah, Shemasachaylam, Tabasachaynu. Right? Like Achayolam is tied up in it. So
what's
like
the after effect?
Of learning. The enjoyment of learning.
So
experience.
So you're still involved in learning if you're still enjoying it.
No, like, but it's like you're happy and there's a joy. Yeah, there's a joy. It's like you eat when you eat, so you're full. So there's an idea that it impacts you. You walk away, it moves the person. So it moves you even after you're not actually involved in the learning itself, but there's an effect, there's a simcha which is caused by the learning. It says, Bikud Yeshem Yisharim, Sam Chaylev. The words of the Torah are Mesameach. So the experience, simcha doesn't just fall away the second you stop doing it, there's an effect. So there's an after effect of learning. So just like, so it's like after you, it's almost like before you learn, you don't really know about the pleasure of it. I mean, at the moment, it seems even painful to get started sometimes, you know, but after you learn, you're moved by it, and you look back and say, wow, this is great, that he gave us this Torah, that's, you know. So there's a takana. What I'm just saying is that learning is the nature of the kind of a thing which there is an afterwards. And the Torah and the Rabbanan, there's room for the Rabbanan to be Machayev in a Shavach based upon the afterwards. And most of the mitzvahs, I don't know if every single one, most mitzvahs which have a bracha achreha are in one form or another Talmud Torah. Or they're using crisp psukim. Like Halel is through to the psukim of Tehillim, and the Navi, and Megillah, and I think by Hakel you have brachas afterwards, and I think Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he lands his brachas afterwards, but that's where he lands the Torah. I mean, the one I thought it isn't is Bris Mila, but Bris Mila is a bracha afterwards, but it's not really using Pesachim. But I don't know, it's one example. I'm not saying that's the only good idea, but you know, you have to study that. But what I'm saying is, like, as opposed to a normal, ordinary Maisa HaMitzvah begins and ends with the Maisa, so there's a Shevach before you do it, but then that's it, and you're done. But Talmud Torah lends itself to an after effect, and it lends itself to a Shevach afterwards. So, arguably, you could say, the Ran will argue, the Torah will argue that there's a Mikra, there's a Bracha Chana, a Mikra Megillah also. Right? So it could be the Baal Yitro does holds the other way to learn, or the Ran holds, is that this is not essentially Talmud Torah, it's essentially Pirsum Anex. So it's not really there's a Mechayev and a Bracha Achara. It's like almost like there's a duality, because I'm saying there's like a Machlokas, right? Because the Baal Yitro, if we're learning, learns it's not a Bracha Achara. Right? And the Torah is saying it is a Bracha Achara. It's Roshos, but it's a Bracha Achara. So maybe it's like the Machlokas is based on the fact that in Mikra Megillah, there's duality. It's Talmud Torah, but it's Pearson. It's like a Maisa Pearson using Talmud Torah. So like when you light candles in a Racha, right? You do Pearson. So that's it. Pearson's over. You did the Pearson. You know what I'm saying? No Racha afterwards. But here, it's like Pearson via Megillah. Via Kriya Talmud Torah. Via Kriya Pesachim. That's the method of doing it. And Kriya Pesachim warrants Racha Achra. Pearson doesn't. So the Duran says it's not really Mechayv Racha Achra. It's a separate thing, all nice, and that's the way the Baal Yitro learns, that's why it's Minog. But the Ran, the Baal Yitro Torah is learning, no, since it's essentially, it's Pearson via Talmud Torah, so it's a Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So if you do a Mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's a Mitzvah of, which incorporates Talmud Torah, and Talmud Torah, there's Racha Achra, so there's Masaki and Racha Achra. But, they made it a Rishos. Maybe you say is like in learning when you're doing pure Talmud Torah, so then you have the Machayev of Shabbat afterwards, because the Talmud Torah engages the person who is the person. That's what you're doing. But here it's like you're essentially doing is you're telling a story and you're publicizing a miracle. But a person who that's not the mitzvah isn't to learn Torah and to think about to think and to learn to be engaged in Talmud Torah. The mitzvah is to publicize a miracle, to tell the story, reading a letter. But it's like it lends itself to a person being lomed. It lends itself to limud. And so far as the person, as far as it lends itself to limud, and the person relates to it that way, he has a right to make a bracha. So it's like, it's not like a chova of Talmud Torah. See, when there's a mitzvah chova of Talmud Torah, a chova of limud, so then you'd say fine, so now the masakin a bracha based on the bracha chorona, because all the Talmud Torah is a bracha afterwards. But here, it's like, it's not an institution of learning. An institution of publicizing, of making a public announcement, of telling everybody a story about the thing which happened. But since you're using a text of Talmud Torah, so a text of Torah, it lends itself to limud. So they set up as a rishos that a person could relate to it as limud and they give shavach on the limud, on the ideas which he thinks into and he's moved. And but that's like that's because the person could be moved by it. But the mitzvah is that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah isn't to learn it. The mitzvah is to read, to tell the story, publicize. It's like making this an announcement. So maybe it's like even if you say the limud that there is a bracha on it because it's a limud, it's not its essential nature. So therefore, it lends itself, but it has a kiyum of limud. So it lends itself to a person to relate to it that way, and then be a mavarech. But he's not chayev to, as opposed to a takana of Talmud Torah itself. So that is a mitzvah. That is an institution of Talmud Torah, and that's a mechayev and bracha achra. Whereas the Nran, for instance, learns that since it's not really Talmud Torah, since its nature is piersam, so therefore it's not mechayev and bracha achra. There is no bracha achra. Either there's a bracha, the bracha is on the nes. It's a totally different thing. Totally different thing. But the Torah isn't learning. It's a totally different thing. He's learning. It's like he's not buying. There's a din of bracha for a nes. Forget about it. There's no bracha on a nes. It's bracha on Talmud Torah. Torah has a bracha achra. But this is Torah. This is really piersum, but it involves Talmud Torah. So in so far as you relate to it that way, it lends itself to the bracha. So they set it up as a rishos.
So I mean.
Yeah, Mark's asking just to clarify the difference. So there's this after effect of learning, but there's an after effect of the nace. So what's the difference? But see, like, there, you just... In general, mitzvos don't have after effects, or they don't have brachos set up for after effects. There is precedent is for Talmud for Torah. Torah as a category is a mitzvah, and the mitzvah which Torah, you know, that mitzvah the Torah, the Rabbanan have bracha on that. There's a bracha achareha on Talmud Torah. So insofar you could argue the Torah will argue insofar as Kriyas Megillah is Talmud Torah, there could be a bracha achareha. But just to tell me because the Megillah brings to mind the nace and it makes me have an effect, I mean, now he's positing a whole new kind of a machai, of a bracha, you know, of like telling the nace, and it's like there's no precedent. And as the Torah is saying, listen, there's such a thing as bracha l'achareha. There's definitely a lot of mitzvahs, bracha rishon, bracha l'achareha, and they're all about Talmud Torah. Now the Ran's chiddush is this is a whole new kind of bracha. It looks like bracha l'achareha, but it's not. It's a new machayev. And when you tell the nace, it reminds you of the nace, and now it's machayev and shavach on the nace. So that's like halachically, it's positing a new institution. So it's true, it may be an effect, but not every time I do something that has an effect is there a halacha of making a bracha. You know, there are a lot of things that could move me, but there's a fish there to their codified in what's machayev and bracha and what's not. So the Torah looks at this and says, this looks to me exactly like bracha achra. It's a bracha before bracha achra. So this is basically bracha on Talmud Torah. The only mitzvah that has bracha achra is a Talmud Torah type mitzvah. So it must be it's coming from the framework of Talmud Torah. So that's how he learns it. And then he says, oh, so it's basically like a regular bracha achra. It's just that here it's Rishos because it's not essentially Talmud Torah. Yeah, but insofar as you want to do it, so then you have to relate to the Gross Torah in general. It's bracha on the mitzvah of the Talmud Torah, and then it has to be, there's no hafsek. But the Ran is saying, no, that this is not really Talmud Torah. This is essentially really Pir Samanes. And you're using Torah, I don't care, but essentially it's Pir Samanes. So there's a bracha, that's a bracha on Pir Samanes. So it's a whole new idea of a machayev. It looks like a bracha, but it really isn't. So it's a question, like, and if you say that, then there's no hafsek issue. So it's like the question is like, knows how original do you want to be in interpreting the sugya? You know, the Ran is going on a more original path and positing this bracha is like totally different than other bracha achareahs. Whereas the Torah is taking learning the sugya in the context of what we know about brachas achareah. You know, I mean, it's not going and making it into a whole new thing. The Torah, the Bali Torah is doing it. The Ran is doing it because it's minog. Where I've heard of minog, you know, or it's rishos. But I mean, the Torah is dealing with that. Like this, for the Torah, you could get into forget the reason why. I mean, the reason why I'd say is Talmud Torah has an effect afterwards, so therefore there's a bracha of afterwards.
But you think it's different than like an ordinary joy of buying something, or
it's it's based upon a joy. I mean, it might be different, but it's the joy of Talmud Torah.
Because like I know about other brachas, as long as you have the joy, I mean, it could be like a week later after you bought a car or whatever, you can say the bracha.
It's different. It's a different institution. It's like since the institution of Talmud Torah has an after effect of a joy, the Rabbanan and Machai of a bracha set up a bracha achra. Talmud Torah is a mitzvah, unlike other mitzvahs, that there's a shevach on the mitzvah after you finish it. Normal brachas don't have an after effect. Here, since the mitzvah has an effect, just like eating has a bracha before and a bracha afterwards, so Talmud Torah also has a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. So the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a mitzvah that lends itself to a bracha of an el achareha. Now you come to the sugya of Mikra Megillah, and you say, well, it's Talmud Torah, and it's bracha of an el achareha. Just like you always have. You have a Megillah, you have leaning in shul, you're reading off Torah in shul, you have Mikra Megillah in shul, and they all have bracha of an el achareha. So I know what's going on here. This is the normal institution of bracha of an el achareha. It's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Eli, it's Rishos. Yeah, because it's Rishos, because the essence of Mikra Megillah is not Talmud Torah, the essence is Pirsum. It just has a partakes of Mikra, it's through via Talmud Torah, so a person that could relate to that aspect of it and has a right to make a bracha on it. But every person doesn't have to do that, and so far as you just relate to it's Pirsum, you can forget about Talmud Torah. So they set it up with a Rishos. But it's still, he's like fitting into the normal halacha of bracha achareha on Talmud Torah. Whereas the Ran is going to hold the whole new idea.